All right. So there's something called a pastoral charge in the scriptures, and I want to talk to you about this. I just want to do a little talking, a little teaching, not really a sermon kind of thing, so to speak, although it may feel like it because I'm a preacher. Paul, writing the last words he will ever write to his dearest friend in the faith, to Timothy, he calls him my son, my true son in the faith. Paul, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the last thing he will ever write, has some words for Timothy because Paul knows he's dying. In fact, he's going to reference it at the end of what we talk about. In the end of this section, you'll see it. He'll say, man, the time has come for my departure. He knows he's getting ready to die. Stop and think about that. If you knew you were getting ready to die, what would be the last thing you would say to somebody you really care about? Timothy is his family. He loves this guy. And he's got one thing he can say to him. And so he gives him something called a pastoral charge. And as Paul is writing, the world is going crazy, very much unlike us. We're perfect. As he is writing, they're on the edge of persecution. As he is writing, truth is becoming unknowable. Scripture hasn't been fulfilled or hadn't been completely written and put together, and people are saying things that aren't true. They're leading people astray. Believers are falling away as Paul is writing. And he's got one thing he wants to say to Timothy, and here's what he says. I charge you, this is a pastoral charge, I charge you, I place upon you the responsibility of, I give this to you, I charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. So I charge you in the presence of God and of Messiah, Jesus, the one he sent to die on the cross for your sins, in their presence, I charge you. They're witnesses of this charge. You're responsible for this, Timothy. He is the one who will judge the living and the dead. We all will one day stand before God and give an account, believer and unbeliever. Oh yeah, you're still going to stand in front of him one day and give an account for your life. And by his appearing and his kingdom, he has come. I'm charging you. He's coming again. I'm charging you. You're a part of his kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. Oh, you're here, but your ultimate citizenship is his kingdom. And here's the charge. Check out the charge. Preach the word. Now, stop, full stop. I say preach the word, and you say, okay, that just deals with pastors. Hang on. We'll get there. Preach the word. Be ready in opportune times and times that aren't opportune, in season and out of season. He says, I want you to reprove, that is to convince, to speak in a way that people understand truth. To rebuke, hey man, you're going wrong, I need to correct you. To exhort, that is to encourage with complete patience and with teaching, making sure that they understand. So again, Paul is leaving, he is dying, the world is going crazy. Persecution is coming. There's heresy everywhere. As people are saying Christ has already come. People said that when he rose, it wasn't really him. It was just a ghost, and he never rose bodily. And there's all sorts of crazy stuff going on. So you have this one last thing to say in a world in which it's hard to know truth. And here's what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, be nice. Hey, I just want to charge you. Be a nice guy. Be a good guy. He doesn't say that. Take up the cause of the widows. Hey, man, that's a great thing. You ought to care for the widows and the poor and the oppressed and the... Absolutely. He doesn't say that, though. This is his one last word to his dearest friend in the world, and he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I don't want you to give... He didn't give no offense. Don't ever offend people. He didn't say that. That's not found anywhere in there. He doesn't say, be known by what you're for, not what you're... He didn't say that. Some of those are good things, but they aren't what he says. This is his last chance to say anything to someone who might listen to Timothy specifically. And then he's going to talk about grace right after that. But this is his charge. This is a solemn charge. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Opportune times and times where it ain't really fun and I don't really feel like it and I'd rather be home watching the latest season of whatever. Be ready. Preach the word. Apply the word with patience and teaching. On all of this is based on the word of God. Pastors need pastors. So I'm in ministry, been in it for more than a quarter century. And I preach, that's what I do. But the thing is, I need to hear preaching. I need to take in the word. I read the word, absolutely, but I need to hear others. So I take time and I listen to other guys. And I've been doing this for years. And I remember at one point I was listening to a guy and he was really, really good. Like, he knew how to turn a phrase, and he knew how to tell stories that were perfect, and just one of those guys that's really polished, but you come away feeling really inspired. And I come away saying, man, he's really good. Man, I really like that story he told. Man, and I realized over time, over a period of weeks, I'm kind of pumped up for a couple of days, and then it's gone. But in terms of actually changing my life, in terms of calling me to deeper commitment to Christ, in terms of making Jesus beautiful and worthy of following, it wasn't there. It wasn't based on the word. It was based on his ability to speak in a way that I liked. And so I was feeling full, but there was no meat. It was like eating Twinkies. Twinkies are good, especially during a zombie apocalypse. Twinkies are amazing if you can find them, but they don't fill you up. They don't feed you. And by the way, I still needed to feed myself on the daily, on the word, not entertainment. But I had to stop listening because it wasn't based on the word. The word is important. The word of God is huge. It changes lives. When they were putting together the 66 books, and specifically the 27 books of the New Testament, they had several qualifications for whether or not it would be included in the scriptures. Was it written by an apostle or a companion of an apostle? Did it contradict the rest of the word? One of their tests for whether or not you include a book of the Bible was this: when it is read publicly, does it change lives? The word of God is dynamic. It changes lives. It is living and active. Scripture says this. Check this out. The word about itself says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged or two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we don't judge the word, it judges us. And as you put yourself in the path of God's word, whether you're reading or you got your Bible app and you're listening, whatever, as you put yourself in the path of God's word, listen, it's reading you and it's showing you things that are in there that you didn't know. It's not always fun, it's not always easy, but it is always good. It will change you and refine you and help you become more like Christ. Help you to be led in a way that brings your blessing and his glory. All right, let me go. This is Timothy right before what we just read. From childhood, Timothy, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Same letter, just a little bit before what we just read, the pastoral charge. He says, the scripture is such that it is able to make you wise for understanding knowledge and knowing Jesus. It'll lead to faith in Christ. And then he goes on, he says, all scripture. Is God-breathed, or breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's all inspired by God. It is all God-breathed, that the man of God or woman of God, the word that is used there is for humankind, may be complete and equipped for every good work. It's what equips us. It's our standard. It is our canon, what we measure our lives against. If I come up against something in the Word, in context, New Testament especially, that I disagree with, I don't change a word. The Word changes me. It doesn't change. It's my measuring stick. Peter will put it this way: no prophecy, that word means truth. It's not foretelling, it's forthtelling. No truth of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy, no truth, was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's not just a book, it's God's word to us. Yes, keep it in context. I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. Now, keep it in context. You're not an Old Testament Jew. You can wear mixed fibers, go crazy, right? In context. But let's get back to the charge. Here's what he says: preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming, this is Paul looking forward, getting ready to die, worried for his friend. The time is coming when people will not endure sound, healthy, pure, uncorrupted. That's what that word means, teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. I know we're not like that as this culture right now. Not at all. We love the Word of God. I know. Passions, inordinate desires, lusts. I want. Therefore, I will find a teacher who will tell me that the Word really doesn't mean that, and that way I can still call myself a Christian, but believe this. I believe I would like, I want to be accepted by, and so I will find somebody who tells me that, you know, Scripture really, it didn't mean, it's changed over time. They didn't really mean, Paul wasn't talking about that in 1 Corinthians 6 or whatever it is. I want their approval, so I'll find someone to change the word. I'll find that it really doesn't mean that. I'll find a way to explain away the Scripture. And we'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Well, you know, the Scriptures are really just copied from other religions at the time. We've talked about those things, by the way. I've looked those things up because I am a skeptic by nature, so when I hear those, I always like to look them up. I'll turn away from listening to what? Truth. What is truth? Word. The Word of God. It's all keyed to the Word. Paul says to Timothy, preach the Word. They'll turn away from truth, and others are going to turn away from the Word. Here's the truth about Scripture. If I believe what I like in Scripture, and I throw out what I don't, it's not the Bible I believe, but myself. And this is important because we're in a time in which it's really fashionable. It makes sense to say, I believe in Jesus. I just don't know that I really believe all of the Scriptures. I don't believe the Bible, but I believe in Jesus. Hey, let me challenge you just for a second. Everything you know about Jesus in any particular way is found in the Scripture. If you start throwing out the Scripture, how do you know what you know about Jesus is true? Ooh, you've just thrown out your whole faith, right? You start throwing out parts of it, you're throwing out Jesus because the biblical Jesus becomes, in that moment, unknowable. So Scripture will say, it will go on. This is the charge. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. People are going to have itching ears. They're going to run after their passions. They're going to follow false teachers. And then he says this, as for you, always be sober-minded. Oh, you can have fun. You can joke. You can laugh. Absolutely, you should. I don't want to hang out with Christians that are always long-faced and all firm and got to be. I'm going to speak in KJV. That gives me a little more. By the way, I hate KJV. Just, again, trying to bring the viewership down online. But when it comes to the ministry God's given you, be serious about that. It matters. Be sober-minded. Endure suffering. He didn't say escape it. He didn't say pray that it goes away. Say your daily affirmation. Get a big old Texas grin on your face and it'll just go away. No. Endure it. Because you're going to go through it in life. And you got to know it. Do the work of an evangelist. Why is he telling Timothy that? Because Timothy isn't an evangelist, but people need to know. So do that work. Do the work that you would if you were an evangelist. Help people know Jesus. Fulfill your ministry. Now, it's writing to Timothy. He's a pastor. He's an elder in the church. So, yeah, fulfill your ministry. Be sober-minded. Endure. Do the work of ministry. Here's the thing. For us, it's the same. Listen, look at me, church. If you know Jesus, fulfill your ministry, and you have one. Look at the people you have in your life, the places that God has put you in, your passions, your gifts, your abilities, your spiritual gifts specifically. You have a ministry. It starts with your family, absolutely, and that's the hardest one, right? Because they know you best, right? They've seen you when you show your tail. Yeah, they know it. They know what it's like when you're grumpy on the way to church, you get in church, and you're smiling and blessed. They know you. That's your primary ministry. And then you got your friends, and you got your extended family, and you got your workplace, and you got my neighborhood is hard for me because I look out, if somebody's out, I go back in. I was going to check them out, but there's people out there. That may not be my primary ministry. You have a ministry, and you're supposed to fulfill it. Serious about it. And then Paul says this, for I'm being poured out as a drink offering. The time for my departure has come. Paul says, I'm getting ready to die, so I need you to know this. This is my solemn charge to you in the presence of God. Now, when the ground of culture in our world is shaking, and it always is, Christians are called to stand firm. I don't know if you've noticed the seismic changes within culture within the past just couple of years. Even within this year, it's just a huge shift. This is important. You stand on the Word. You preach the Word. You stand firm. Let me show you. I'm just going to show you a couple of scriptures we're not going to talk much about. I want to show you real quick. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, immovable. Stand firm. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. I love this one. Act like men. Be strong. I'm pretty sure the act like men is offensive these days. I don't care. Yeah. Put on the whole armor of God. Pastor Corey taught this, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. It's just the idea of standing firm when everybody's going crazy. Resist him, the devil, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Resist him firm in the faith. Stand firm. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again, stand firm. So then, brothers, stand firm. Sisters, stand firm. Hold to the traditions, the things that we taught you, either by spoken word or by our letter. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown. Here's that word, that phrase again. Do you see that? What's that phrase? Stand firm. Thus, in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. When everything is going crazy and the world's going nuts and the culture is shaking, you're trying to figure out which side am I going to be on? Christ's side. Just follow him. He probably transcends most of our politics. And I tend to be political in my viewpoints. But, you know, I have no party that I care about because I don't trust any of them. I do trust Jesus. And if your faith is in a political party, oh, I pity you because ain't none of them good. Jesus is good. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ so that I may hear that you are, here's that phrase again, standing firm. There's over 100 places in the scriptures where it says something to the effect of stand firm. I think God is trying to tell us something. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to stand firm. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy to be swayed, to be moved by events. Oh, my gosh, I cannot believe I lost that person I love so much. I can't believe I lost my job. Oh, dude, we had planned this vacation for years, and then this thing hit. And there's our one shot at it. To be moved by suffering, by people. Well, you know, Jesus never really meant that. No, you're just being a little too hard shell. Don't believe that. Yeah, the Bible's just basically however you want to take it. By the culture, by the lies of false teachers. We're called to stand firm. Stand firm where? Stand firm in what? Here's the things that can sway us. Hard times, persecution, events, lies, culture. And if you're not standing firm, you will fall. Bible says that he who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Let me give you a couple of these. For years, the culture has told us this. And I'm talking to people who are in church, so I'm not trying to beat a drum or make you feel guilty. You are the church. You don't need church. I am the church. We've talked about this. Church is plural. You are not plural unless you've got a bunch of personalities in you, in which case, seek help. You're not plural. Right? There was a book that was written called So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore, and it has such great truth in the midst of so much error. And basically it said anytime Christians are together, that's church. No, it's not. Church has a biblically recognized structure. Elders and deacons are given to us in scriptures, qualifications for them. There's worship, there's prayer, there's fellowship, and there's word, and the word is central in that as well, and there's communion and baptism. That's not the same as two Christians grabbing a beer or a cup of coffee. It's different, right? And then this hits, this COVID thing, and you got people saying, well, politicians, forgive me, for saying you don't need to be in a pew to pray to God. Dude, why don't you stick to politics? We'll deal with the truth of the scriptures, right? You don't know what you're talking about. It's not here just to pray. We're here for fellowship. We're here to worship corporately, something God calls us to hear the word together, to pray together, to worship together. That's not the point, Governor. You missed it. We need those things all together. The church of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The world will pass away one day. The Bible says that the elements will melt with fervent heat. I don't know about you, but that, to me, that don't sound good. It don't sound easy. It's pretty, I don't know if you can even do s'mores with elements melting with fervent heat. If you can't do s'mores, it's not a fire I want to go to. It's not one I want to attend. The church will continue on. It's because of the Church of Jesus Christ that I know Jesus. And I'm no longer an addict. I'm no longer a thief. We're talking a bunch of years ago, 37 years ago. I'm no longer a guy who uses women. I'm no longer, I mean, just go on down the line. The Church of Jesus Christ changed my life. The church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the Church of Jesus Christ. Not this church, the Church of Jesus Christ. Culture will tell us, well, it's just a book of fairy tales. I can't believe that you would pray to your imaginary sky god. Dude, that imaginary sky god, as I just said, so radically reoriented me. I got a woman I've been faithful to by God's grace for 31 years. I've seen me too, so it really wasn't that hard. You know, look in the mirror and go, yeah, that's going to be easy. Got a kid that, man, I know which direction I was going, and I look at him and I go, Lord, you're amazing. My dad said to me not that long ago, he said when Trent was born, he said, you know, you had it easier than I did, my dad said, and your son's going to have it easier than you did. That's the gospel breaking chains. Some people call them generational curses broken by the gospel. It's amazing what God has done. What if there's a shooting in a mall? Not that that ever happens. And they say, hey, keep your thoughts and prayers. If there was a God, he would have stopped it. As if the scripture didn't say, in this world you will have trouble. As if the scripture didn't point us to fallenness and say, you've got free will, and that free will affect others, but God can redeem it. He doesn't stop it because he doesn't take away free will, but he will redeem it if you'll look to him. Our culture will laugh at us as we follow Jesus, and it is really easy to kind of back down, walk away, get really quiet about what we believe. We don't want to be up in anybody's face shoving a Bible down their throat. I don't. And it doesn't reach anybody. But I also don't want to say, oh, no, I don't want to tell anybody I'm a Christian. I don't want to be one of those. You've got to be really careful. First-time adventurer decides he's going to go into the jungle, reads up on it, buys all of his stuff, all arrives from Amazon, he's good to go. He's going to go into the Amazon jungle with Amazon stuff. He's good to go. He gets one really good piece of advice, because he's going into an area that's known for earthquakes, and the guy who's been there before says, hey, listen, when the ground starts shaking or moving, you just stand firm. When the ground's moving, stand firm until it stops. Guy thinks this is good advice. Goes into the jungle. Ground starts moving. He stands firm and sinks straight into quicksand. It's not just whether or not you stand. You got to decide where you're going to stand. If you're standing on quicksand, you're just going to sink. Our culture is quicksand. Where you stand, quicksand where you stand matters as much as it does that you stand. We got to take a stand. Okay, on what? What guides you as you take that stand? Because I'm looking at politics, I'm looking at culture, I'm looking at what guides you as you take the stand and what are you going to stand on? Nations rise and fall. God remains. What are you going to stand on? Passion of the moment, the unchanging word of the living God. Those two things are completely different. It matters. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Yeah, the word is where you stand. It ain't changed. Culture is a moving target. It will continue to change. And we don't hate culture. We don't hate the people in the culture. We love Jesus so much we want people to know him so they can walk with him as well. It's not about hating them and they're all enemies. No, no, no. Jesus died for all of us, and none of us are better than the rest of us. We stand on the unchanging word of the living God who himself will not bend, change, or seek approval from men, nor should we. And so I want to give you, as best as I can, a pastoral charge for this year, for 2021. I want to ask you, in the presence of God, I want to place that responsibility on you to do this if you call yourself by the name of Christ. Here's the charge. As your pastor, and I think our elder team would agree, I charge you in the presence of God by his kingdom, because that's your citizenship, and because of the brevity of life and the certainty of eternity, I charge you with this. Stand firm in the faith, rooted and grounded in the word of the living God. Refuse to compromise, back down, or walk away from what you know to be true. Fulfill your ministry by God's grace, to His glory, by His Spirit, regardless of the cost. And let me promise you something. There's going to be a cost. There always is. This due in 2021, especially in 2021, and the Lord will be with you. Remember, we looked last week, the Lord is with Mary. The Lord will be with you, even to the end of the age, it says in Matthew 28. Stand firm, rooted and grounded. What you know to be true. Fulfill your ministry. And here's the question you need to ask yourself this morning. If you know Jesus, God, what's my ministry? And you're saying right now, for some of you, if you're really self-aware, you're saying, God can't, who am I? God can't use me. I got to clean this up first. I got to get that straight first. Hey man, that delay is a tactic of the enemy. You will never be good enough to fulfill your ministry. Ever. Your God is greater than you. And He will use you in spite of your flaws. Like we said last week, you say, God couldn't use me. God doesn't want me. Have you, we got kids in here. Have you taken advantage of a woman and murdered someone lately? King David. There's no excuse for it. It ain't right. But God didn't stop using him. Repent when you sin, absolutely. But don't tell God what He can't do. He will use you as you are as you continue to follow after Him and become what He called you to be. You have a ministry. Here's your question. What is my ministry? And God, will I stand firm on the Word? And if you're going to do something really special this year, people have Bible plans. I'm going to read the Bible in a year. Oh, I'm going to read the New Testament really stuff. I haven't studied the Old Testament. I'm going to study that this year. I don't care what your plan is. The issue is, will you get in the Word? Because it'll change you. On a regular, you say, I don't read much. Okay, there's this really cool thing. It's called a Bible app. They have these things called smartphones. You click on it. You click on this little thing, and it'll read it to you. Heck, you can be playing video games, killing people while you're listening to how Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It'll be good, trust me. I've done that before. I'm playing Halo. Rocket launcher right at that guy's head. But hey, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It's, God bless you. You'll come back. You'll respawn. I mean, not in real life, but hey, it's a game. Spend some time in the Word. I need to stop. I've got to stop here. I don't have a choice.